This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is
it? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 1057
The Fan. 1057 The Fan. News from the Nest, as you just heard here on this Featured Artist Friday. Rage Against the Machine, 2 hours to go. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send your request. Plus, for text line, 410-583-1057. John Harbaugh, Ravens head coach. Talked to Ravens.com, did a one on one there, talking about the combine and in particular, what kind of work are they putting in this weekend?
Action happening everywhere. You're evaluating players. You're looking at the medical stuff. You're having interviews all over the place. An opportunity to get to know the draft. I think the scouts do a great job of digging in. They're digging in deep, asking guys even tougher questions and getting to know the players more deeply. But this is a process. It's part of the process. It's a fun part of the process. So there's a lot of energy here at the Combine.
Yeah, it's a busy time, you know, like for Harbs and stuff. For head coaches, it's interesting because it's really their first exposure to any of these guys. Like, this is when Harbs is sitting down watching film during the day. And first time meeting players, first time getting a look at these players. Where are the scouts? Some of these scouts, they probably the Ravens may have five reports on a guy. So five different people have been in to see good players. And, you know, what the scouts do is, they get all the background information because, you know, when they're on their visit to the school, they're talking to the trainers, to the academic people, talking to coaches, all that kind of stuff, because it is their job to know everything there is to know about the kid. And then that when you're at the combine, then a lot of times, like that scout, you know, he'll fill people in beforehand because there might be some questions that you want to get answered, you know, during your 15-minute interview, which is really only about 12, because the horn blows, you get 15 minutes. The horn blows, but the guy's got to come from another room, so by the time you get him, it's 12, you know, about 12, 11 minutes. So you're not getting to spend a lot of time now, with these guys.
And you heard John Harbaugh talking about getting to know the players a little bit more intimately in that short period of time. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want to keep it, you don't want to cross lines, I'm guessing, asking questions here, but is there any intel? I'm guessing somebody's researched character here.
Oh, no doubt.
Don't ask him this, don't ask him or that, or are you just like all in, just trying to find out as much as you possibly can?
Well, the questions or concerns that you have about the guy, you ask. Because normally what you do is like, it's a GM, head coach, probably the scout, possibly, that was from the area, the position coach. A lot of times, the position coach will lead the questioning and ask him questions. And if there's some difficult questions, oh, you got to ask him. Because you want him to tell you, you know, like if it's a difficult question, you want to, if you're Harbs, you want to see what that kid's going to say. You want to look at him in the eye and see how he's going to respond to that question.
Has there been an instance where you were debatable in regards to a player, not necessarily because of performance, but they come off, say they're off-putting personally, where it just says, nah, he's done. We can't go there because there's too many possibilities of this going haywire that we can't risk it.
I think those kind of guys, because Bob, you're still able to invite 30 more guys to your facility. So do you, for 48 hours, you can have them for 2 days. So when you bring them in, what do you want to bring in those 30? Is it guys you're interested in? Is it guys you still have questions about? You know, so what is it? Like, for us, like with Kellen Winslow Jr., you know, there was some concerns about him. And then, you know, when he comes in and, you know, he's late for the meeting and he's downstairs sleeping and doing all, you know, I mean, it's a job interview the whole time that you're there. And so everything is being watched and everything, the way you talk, the way you do everything. I'm trying to remember, oh, Bob, we had a kid, Maben, local kid.
Oh, Aaron Maben.
Yeah, Aaron Maben.
Penn State, yeah.
We were interviewing him. I remember Greg Blosch. We had the whole defensive coaching staff. We were at Morton's, you know, in Great Falls. And after he left, you know, I mean, we had dinner with him. And then some of the players, they took him. And then, and I remember it was like, no way. You know, I'm trying to remember what he was, but I think he was very arrogant and, you know, and stuff, and he just rubbed the defensive coaches wrong.
Yeah, Baltimore guy, went to Penn State, and, you know, didn't have a stellar NFL career by any stretch of the imagination. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest here on this Featured Artist Friday. John Harbaugh was asked Ravens.com about the Ravens' safety depth and the overall secondary outlook, at least as we sit here at the end of February.
Well, it'd be big for us. I mean, it would give us another type of guy in that kind of mix, and we do like to move. Not just Kyle. We move Kyle around a lot. He was more deep this year, but he'll be deep a lot again. But we can bring him down inside, kind of what we call the dime backer position, inside down to the nickel position. We can do it with disguise. He can look like he's playing strong or free safety and come down. We can rotate, take our Darius over the top. We have good young safeties that can still allow us to do that. But whether it's a safety or a corner, and maybe we get Brandon Stevens back, who can play safety and corner and nickel and dime. He's a very versatile player. So all those kind of things will play in as we see how it unfolds.
All right. What the hell is he saying?
Yeah, Bob, I mean, like, if I'd have looked at him like, you know, like if I'd have been Eric and I would have been standing with Harbs and he started bringing up, I'd looked at him like, what the hell are you talking about?
And Steven.
Yeah. Been there, done that. But I think what he's talking about is in nickel and dime, they want to bring Kyle down, you know, maybe on first down, because he's an outstanding tackler and he's a good rusher. You know, I thought, or blitzer, you know, but he uses his hands well rushing. So you want to take advantage of those skills because he can get sacks for you. But he's also so good on the back end. So if they get, like, the South Carolina, I can't remember how to pronounce his name, but he's a 6'3 kid, about 225, too. So he's another big kid. Whereas, like, a Darius, you know, is 5'9. And Adarius is small, and he's been hurt a lot. So Adarius, I think they would like to use more nickel and those types of things. And then don't forget T.J. Tampa. T.J. Tampa is going to play a role in there somewhere, too.
Yeah, and kind of do keep forgetting T.J. Tampa a little bit. Fourth-round pick last year out of Iowa State. His last name is Nick Emmanuori.
Emmanuori.
Out of South Carolina, ranked number 2 by Mel Kiper behind Malachi Starks out of Georgia. But there's no guarantee that even he will be around at 27.
No, and that's the thing about picking 27th. You're a reactionary position. That's what kind of, you know, I mean, it's nice you have a great year, but when you come to the draft, it kind of sucks because you just got to sit there and you watch good players fly off the board.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back on this Featured Artist Friday, buy or sell, where's the weekend dough? Let's count it up. Brian DiArdo, CBSSports.com, talks some NFL with him. The Combine, Matt Stafford, dueling NFL insiders at Starbucks, for crying out loud. What the hell's going on with that? NFL lunch at 1 o'clock. Give you the Orioles lineup and an update on what's going on at Fort Myers against the Twinkies. And Tommy Gerbese, Ring Magazine preview, Tank Davis, Lamont Roach, tomorrow night in Brooklyn for the WBA Lightweight Championship of the World.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan. Featured artist Friday, a little Rage Against the Machine. Well, a lot of that. As a matter of fact, send your song request, plus for text line. Nolan McGraw's got you covered at 410-583-1057. Brian DiArdo, CBSSports.com, talks some NFL with him. Bottom of the hour, but we have a ton going on. World sports, as we try to address as much as we possibly can. Let's count some dough. Hopefully some weekend money's coming our way by or sell.
Yeah, we got a little weekend money. The Dow's up 2.25. The S&P's up 28. The NASDAQ is up 109. DraftKings up 56 cents. Under Armour's up 4 cents.
Well, it appears Abdul Carter avoided the worst-case scenario with his foot injury. According to his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, it will not require surgery, and that would have been very devastating to him. The potential procedure, I think, would have put a screw in his foot, would have kept him out for at least 8 weeks, and of course, Penn State's pro day coming up here in roughly 4 weeks. So, as of now, still in line to participate there. Most mock drafts still have him going in the top five, if not number one overall. But that health aspect, it can't be ignored. And what's to say his foot won't be an issue for him when he finally does land with a team in the fall? Buy or sell, Vinny, Carter's stock will still drop because of this injury red flag.
Yeah, I'll sell it. I'll sell it because if he goes and does all the things that he's capable of doing athletically in at the Penn State Pro Day, people are not going to have any concerns. But if things don't go right at the pro day, then the red flags, then they definitely come out.
Over to baseball here. It seems like just yesterday that MLB went through that lockout, the heated negotiations between the owners and the Players Association. Well, the agreement that they came to, it's already set to expire after the 2026 season, and both Rob Manfred and head of the PA, Tony Clark, are already throwing comments back and forth through the media. The commissioner made it sound like the lockout was a net positive for forcing a deal to get done, while Clark says it sounds like Manfred is rooting for another work stoppage based on his comments. The financial disparity between top and bottom teams in the league, that will probably be the number one topic or at the center of the next CBA negotiations. Buy or sell, Bob, another work stoppage that impacts spring training and the regular season is unfortunately inevitable.
I'm going to sell it, but you never know. And I think we hear guys like David Rubenstein, who probably speaks for the majority of the owners, a salary cap or a salary floor got to be involved here. If you're the Dodgers, for instance, and you spend as millions and millions and billions of dollars, why am I sharing the revenue with a team like the Pirates, who's not spending anything on their product? Players will never go for a salary cap. Let's understand that. They've always had the strongest union in professional sports. I'm selling that a work stoppage, however, will affect spring training. Could they miss a couple of dates? It's happened a billion times before. But regular season, nah, I'm selling them.
All right, we'll go back to the NFL. Once again, the competition committee is looking at potential rule changes, and it's become really an annual tradition here when we start talking about replay review. What can you replay? What can you challenge? What can we look at in-game? Well, Troy Vincent says the discussion of expanded use of replay assist has been limited to reviewing penalties that have already been called on the field. They don't want a scenario where penalties can be retroactively called after going and looking at a replay. Right now, some of the penalties being considered for this, eligible for review, that is, roughing the passer, face mask, really personal fouls, it seems. But Vinny, buy or sell, there will come a day where penalties will be assessed after video review.
I'm going to sell it. I just think that takes too long, you know, and then there's too much stoppage, and I think that would hurt the game.
A little bit basketball here. Victor Wembanyama, that season-ending injury, well, it did open the door for some other players to win Defensive Player of the Year, because before the injury, I mean, he was as close to a lock as you can get. Right now, it appears to be just a two-man race. Former winner, Jaren Jackson Jr., Evan Mobley, also in consideration. He finished top three previously in his career. Now, barring an injury for either one of those guys, they should both easily hit the minimum games played threshold to be eligible in the end. But buy or sell, Bob, this race will remain tight all the way through the end of the season, neither pulling away definitively.
Oh, I'll buy that. I'm going to be honest with you. Defensive Player of the Year is not something I pay that much attention to. Where's the shutdown guard? The Sidney Moncrief? Where's the Michael Jordan? He's getting all in people's grills where they would win it. But I guess blocking shots, rim protecting in this day and age is paramount. Mobley's a stud. Jared Allen's no stiff either, by the way, for Cleveland, his little front court, not little, his big front court mate there. But yes, Nolan, it'll come down to the wire. Not like Secretariat in this the Belmont in 73. It's going to come down to the wire. Maybe a late season game-winning block shot or something. I don't know.
And one last topic here today. The Browns have a long list of issues to address this offseason. Really, besides the Myles Garrett trade request, finding a new quarterback has to be that top priority. Deshaun Watson's recent injury status, though, it does complicate things. And GM Andrew Berry says doesn't really have a timeline for when Watson would be able to return. What they do with that contract remains to be seen. There's no way they can pass up on the opportunity to draft someone, though, at number two overall. Buy or sell, Vinny, if Watson is released, no other team will even show backup interest in him.
I'll buy that. I mean, he has played like crap. And why do you want that coming around? Andrew Berry probably can't wait for the day when he's not asked a question about Deshaun Watson.
Well, we're going to hear from him at NFL Lunchtime coming up here at 1 o'clock. Andrew Berry talking about, you guessed it, Deshaun Watson. We'll come back, talk some NFL. Brian DiArdo, CBSSports.com. Give you the Orioles lineup, taking on the Twins. No Gunnar Henderson, dealing with side stuff. And as soon as Brandon Hyde addresses what's going on with old Gunnar, we'll let you know. NFL Lunch at 1, give you an Orioles score update against the Twinkies. And then Tommy Gerbese, Ring Magazine preview. Tank Davis, undefeated, 28 KOs at 30 fight. Does Lamont Roach have a chance at pulling the upset? And here to talk about that and more, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's with CBSSports.com. Let's welcome back to the program, Brian DiArdo. Brian, what's happening?
Hey, how you guys doing? We're finally at golf season, so I'm fired up about that. So good to be on with you guys.
I appreciate your time, Brian, as always. Before we get into it, have you ever had a coffee shop dust-up with a fellow insider?
No, that would require me to be an insider, so no. I unfortunately, That's never happened. I have a couple of times asked the barista to top me off when I thought I wasn't getting a full portion when you pay that much money at Starbucks. But no, I've never had another altercation with an insider.
Yeah, you got to flex them muscles, man, for that dough, as you said. All right, Matt Stafford's trying to flex his free agent muscles here. Speaking of coffee shop dust-ups, where he might go, who wants him, I guess that's up for debate. We know he wants to get paid and paid handsomely. How do you see this one, Brian, playing out? Now, Stafford, former number one overall pick, won a Super Bowl. They gave Philly all they could handle, and then some this year in the postseason. He's a little aged, but he's not ancient. So what kind of leverage right now does Stafford have, and how do you see this all unfolding over the next couple of months?
Well, I think it's rapidly amped up as far as our clarity on that situation. I think he's going to go to the Raiders. That's where I think. I think this is very similar as far as this breakup to the Jared Goff one, where he helped the Rams get to the Super Bowl. But I think we always knew that Goff was good, but there was a tier two above him as far as the quarterback hierarchy. And I think it was clear back then to McVay that, you know, while Goff got them to a Super Bowl, his chances at winning a Super Bowl were going to be higher with a different quarterback. He got Stafford, and it seems like now, and you even said it, I mean, they had almost gotten to an NFC title game, but it does seem like, you know, him getting older, his lack of mobility, they've only won one playoff game since they won the 21 Super Bowl, so it just seems like they're ready for a breakup. And I think if Stafford was willing to play ball as far as his contract, I think that he would still be in Los Angeles, but I think that they're not going to pay him $50 million to return there. They're not going to invest that much in him when he's going to be 37 and we don't know how much he has left. As far as you know, his leverage, he has a lot of leverage because he is a Super Bowl winning, probably future Hall of Fame quarterback. We could debate whether or not he's a Hall of Famer or not, but that's why I think he'll go to a team like the Raiders and Pete Carroll. You know, I think the Giants and the Raiders are the two front runners to get him, but as we all know, with older quarterbacks, you can't have a team as barren as the Giants and expect that quarterback to hold up. Now, I know we all know the Raiders don't have a ton of weapons either, but they've got Brock Bowers, they've got Pete Carroll, they've got a lot of cap space, they've got, you know, Tom Brady there who's doing a lot of work as far as recruiting. So I think that's where he's going to go, and I think it could turn out pretty well for him.
Yeah, I mean, why would you want to go to the Giants? I mean,
no.
They don't have a good season. They're all getting fired. Then you go a new coach again. Now, with the Rams, who comes in? Who do they go get? Is it Aaron Rodgers, Sam Darnold? Who do they get?
I think it's Darnold or it's Rodgers, and I'm going to lean towards Rodgers. I think the Vikings are going to re-sign Darnold.
Wow.
Because I think Darnold's going to be – I think he's going to be realistic with his contract demands. And I think that, let's be honest, they don't know what they have in J.J. McCarthy. And there were rumors last year before he got hurt that he wasn't impressing them during his practices and that he still had signs of major development there. And a lot of, you know, rookies do, obviously. So I think that he'll probably end up there or stay there. And I think Rodgers is going to the Rams. And I think that they'll probably bring Devontae Adams with them. And again, I think for McVay, it's similar to, you know, to the Jared Goff situation. And let's all be honest, like, Stafford is great, but in both of their heydays, Rodgers was undoubtedly the best player. Now, obviously, he's 41. He's coming off, you know, he hasn't had an Aaron Rodgers season since 2021. That was 4 years ago. So, but I think he's motivated to show that he can still play well at a high level. And I think that McVay's motivated to show that he can win with him. So I think that's where Rodgers is going to end up.
What about Justin Fields?
Jets. I think he'll go to the Jets. I think the Steelers are and this pains me as when I was a kid, I grew up a Steelers fan. It pains me to say this. I think they have about as much direction as my two-year-old does on her motor scooter. I mean, she's just – I don't know where they're going as far as the direction of that franchise. I mean, the fact that they're reportedly not sure which quarterback they want to sign is a head-scratcher. I mean, they lost their last five games, and Wilson regressed basically every single game. So I don't know what he showed them. Have them, you know, it seems like they're going to re-sign Wilson, and I think Fields is going to be able to walk. He's already said – that the Jets roster intrigues him. I don't think that's going to work because I just think that Fields still needs a system that's going to protect him from making his mistakes while also kind of, you know, focusing on his strengths, right? So I think the Steelers would have been a really good fit for him to come back to, but I think that that's where he'll end up. And I mean, he's got Garrett Wilson, the Ohio State connection. They've got a good running game. They really got to work on that offensive line. I think that was the biggest reason why the Jets season fell apart. One of the reasons why the Jets season fell apart last year. But I think that's where Fields is going to end up.
How about Myles Garrett? Stay, go, is he a Brown? Is he not a Brown? If he's not a Brown, where do you think?
They got to trade him. I mean, I think they got to trade him. I think a team, I mean, the Lions are the team you keep hearing. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson even said that him and Garrett spoke during NFL honors and kind of fantasized about, you know, being teammates. It's just going to be a heavy price. I think the Browns are going to want maybe 2 first-round picks. That's going to be the minimum. So it's going to be a very heavy price for him. And I think, you know, we're seeing, you know, a chess match happening because he requests a trade. Andrew Berry says the GM at the combine, we're not trading him. And then it comes out the next day that he won't sign an extension. So this is just a back and forth right now that's playing out. I just don't think that there's any way that they keep him. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think it'd be a great move for both sides if they parted ways, because what the Browns need right now, they need draft picks. They need cap space, and they need maybe even a talented player or two. This is going to be a pretty big rebuild, because they're going to get rid of Chubb. They're probably not going to keep Amari Cooper. And you know, as good as Garrett is, what has he gotten them? One playoff win? Now he's going to be 30 years old. So, you know, I get that, you know, he's a franchise legend. He's one of the best Browns ever, and I get all that. But to me, this is business, and I think he doesn't want to play there anymore. You don't want a disgruntled guy in that building. I would trade him. I would take him to the Lions, because the Lions are one of those teams that would probably be willing to give up a lot to get him.
Now, Brian, do the Bengals keep Chase, Higgins, and Hendrickson? Do they get those three contracts done?
Yes, and I would have said a week ago no, but I think I've changed my mind. When I look at their cap space, I see the verbiage that's happening between Hendrickson and Duke Tobin, their GM. It seems like this is maybe, we'll see. Bengals might be turning over a new leaf, because we all know their history of not being great as far as keeping players and re-signing players. But I think they all realize that when you've got a player as special as Joe Burrow, it doesn't come around very often. You've got to do whatever. It's very similar to Lamar Jackson, right? You get a guy that's that special, you've got to do whatever it takes. So, yeah, and again, they have the cap space. I think Joe is going to restructure his contract. The issue is, Jamar is going to want to be the highest paid receiver in football. Duke Tobin already said he's going to be. Now, I will say this. They're going to get all those guys signed, but they're going to have to do a much better job drafting. I think that's been one of their biggest downfalls. You know, they drafted Myles Murphy, who could have been Hendrickson's replacement. He's been a bust so far. Dax Hill's been a bust so far. Another first-round pick. They've got to do better drafting if they're going to keep all these high-priced players. That's why the Eagles won a Super Bowl. Not only did they retain their star offensive players, they were able to turn over that defense with good draft picks.
Brian DiArdo, CBSSports.com, joining us, Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan, talking some NFL, Combine Weekend, then you got Tag You're It, then free agency, then the draft, then schedules, and then minicamp, then training camp, and then the season starts before you know it. But the number one pick in this year's draft belongs to the Tennessee Titans, leading one way or another. Trade, keep, if they stick around at one, where are they going? Abdul Carter appears to have gotten a clean bill of health. Do they go there? Do they go Travis Hunter, a generational player at maybe two positions? Or do they take a flyer on the quarterback, with all due respect to Will Levis there?
Yeah, I would take Hunter, or I would trade out of the pick. I think it's pretty simple. To me, these quarterbacks, you know, aren't, to me, compelling enough. Like, there's no, in my opinion, there's no slam dunk this guy's going to be a star. Right, I think best case scenario, it could be a Bo Nix, where he has a very, very nice season. Honestly, I think that would be the ceiling. The ceiling is any of these guys is Bo Nix, because he had a really good rookie season. So I would take Hunter because of what you said. I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, I have not seen a college player that good on both sides of the ball in my lifetime. And I was born during the Reagan administration, so I, you know, I've seen a lot of players come through at the college level, but nobody with like 1,300 receiving yards, 4 interceptions, defensive player of the year at his conference, Heisman Trophy. So he could be a lightning rod on both sides of the ball. And I think they say they see him more as a corner that could play some receiver, but you never know how this works out, right? He could go to minicamp and tear it up at receiver, and then that might open up a new door. But and you know, I think Levis still. I'm not necessarily giving up on him, but I would still give him another shot. I mean, he did increase his completion percentage last year. He cut back on the turnovers a little bit, but it was still way too much. But I still give him another chance. And let's face it, and you know this, you're not going to succeed at the NFL level if there's not enough talent around you. So I think the Titans still need to build more talent around Levis, build an offense that's tailored to his skill strengths, and either get Hunter or trade it out of that pick. Because there's really nobody else with that pick that you're going to get that's going to give you the type of turnaround that you possibly could get with Hunter.
Brian DiArdo, CBSSports.com. Brian, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy your weekend. We'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds great. Thank you.
There's Brian DiArdo, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Come back, reset for you. NFL lunch coming up, top of the hour. Give you the Orioles lineup, by the way, when we come back. And give you a score update at 1:15 because they'll be underway. And Gunnar Henderson news is out there, and we'll share it with you. And then we'll preview Tank Davis, Lamont Roach tomorrow night in Brooklyn. Tommy Gervasi, Ring Magazine. Sports at 583-1057. Orioles today taking on the Twins in Fort Myers. Gunnar Henderson is improving. This is Rich Dubroff. We had him on a couple hours ago, live from Florida. Brandon Hyde says back soreness, lower back, right side yesterday, left early in the game. He's going to get the weekend off. And I guess that's all we can go on right now. So no Gunnar this weekend. Jordan Westberg's dealing with back soreness, and he has been for the better part of a week. So he's not in the lineup. I'll give you the lineup in a second. Dean Kramer will pitch on Sunday against the Phillies. Christopher Sanchez, Zach Eflin is on the hill for the Orioles today. Jackson Holliday leading off at second base. Colton Cowser, center field. Gary Sanchez behind the plate. Heston Kjerstad is in left field. Manuel Rivera's at third base. Dylan Carlson, right field. Kobe Mayo's at first base. Get used to it. Daz Cameron's your DH. Levant Soto is your shortstop. Zach Eflin, as we said, is on the hill, also scheduled to throw today. Jacob Hernandez, Yoenel Perez, Carlos Tavera, Albert Suarez, Yennier Cano. So sooner or later, going to start stretching these guys out, as we are, believe it or not, less than a month away from the start of the season. Season starts March 27th in Toronto against the Blue Jays. So yes, ladies and gentlemen, today is the last day of February. Where's the time going? And yes, Nolan, I'm going there because whenever we get to the first of a month, so let's just go ahead and say it's March 1st, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. Put a Christmas tree up in 9 months, Nolan McGraw.
As far as I'm concerned, tomorrow's the best day of the year.
How's that?
March is the best month of the year. March Madness, spring training in full swing, the regular season starts at the end. St. Patty's Day.
Yeah.
Is it your birthday that month, too?
Yeah. Official start of spring.
Oh, excuse us. Well, Nolan McGraw.
I didn't include that. I mean, nobody cares about that. And it means that February's over. And February, as we all know, is the worst month of the
year. It's nice-ish today. Tomorrow's supposed to be, what, high 50s? And then Sunday, it's going to be like 35. So we're getting into all that. I just want, when we're down at Pickles for the home opener on that Monday, it's 65. It's warm because usually opening day can go either way. Like it's really cold, it's misty, it's overcast. Like the playoffs, pardon me, the playoffs last year sucked. Both days stunk weather wise. The field, the performance on the field stunk from an Orioles perspective. Let's get the sun out. Let's get the hot dogs hot. The beers are cold. Let's enjoy the start of a beautiful 2025 season. I know there's a lot of skeptical Oriole fans out there, even though Vegas, for some reason, likes their chances. Oriole fans, ironically enough, don't, which is wild, wacky stuff.
Well, it's always going to be there.
That's right.
They could get out to a 10-game lead, and we'd still have concerns.
If you ain't bitching and complaining, you ain't a fan. I guess that's what it is. And John Harbaugh, as we get back to the Ravens heading into NFL lunch, top of the hour, he's got his fair share of critics. Okay. There are people today that would fire, if they were given full control of the Ravens for 24 hours, like the first thing it would do would be like fire Harbs. Harbs, he's not going anywhere, whether you like it or not. But here's John Harbaugh talking about the combine and in particular identifying needs for a team that's probably going to have one of the best rosters in football this year.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. I mean, you're always going to be trying to build an offensive line. That's going to be critically important. And you really do start everything from the beginning. Every end, at the end of every season, is the beginning of a new season. You know, the end of a week is the beginning of a new week, even during the season. So we're trying to build ourselves up to be the best football team we can be. And it does start on both sides in the trenches. It starts with the offensive line and defensive line.
No question about it. Because what do the Ravens want to do? They want to run the ball and they want to stop the run. And they're usually, and lately, they've been pretty good at both. And that's dominating up front. And they've had good people. And with their offensive line, they're going to need some help there. They're going to, in their 11 picks, they'll be three or four O-linemen, D-linemen combined, drafted, I would say.
And 27 overall, are we still best player available in that scenario there if they hold steady with that selection?
I would say best player available by position of need. You know, I mean,
they're not taking a quarterback in the first round. For
no, they're not taking a quarterback. They're not taking a receiver in the first round. They're not taking a running back in the first round. You know, so a safety they would take there if he's sitting there. You know, if there's not somebody that they got highly rated, they may trade back into the second round. It just depends. You know, I mean, if you got second round grades on all the guys and you're sitting there at 27, you know, move back and get quality for your pick.
Now, we talk about the offensive line. We talked about it earlier in the show with Gianna Hahn from the Baltimore Banner. Ronnie Stanley looks like he's coming back, or the plan is they would love to have him back. Right, John Harbaugh?
Right, you got to just meet the circumstances where you find him, you know, in life and as a coach. We're going to try real hard to keep Ronnie and keep Pat. You know, those are guys that we want to try to keep and see if we can keep moving forward and keep building with those guys. If it works out, that'd be amazing and awesome. I'd be the happiest guy in the world. If it doesn't work out, we're going to make it amazing and awesome, and we're going to become the happiest people in the world because we're going to find another way to do it. And guys like Roger and Daniel Falele and Andrew Voorhees, you got Tyler Linderbaum still, good young guys, whoever we draft, maybe we sign somebody. We'll find a way because we just think it's so important to have a great offensive line.
I would think, Bob, that the only way McCary comes into the picture if Ronnie's out. Otherwise, you know, if they sign Ronnie, I think McCary is gone. Unless nobody else wants him and it's a real cheap deal. But I would think that McCary will probably get some money just because he's got such great versatility.
Are they looking to upgrade over Voorhees at left guard, or are they still confident that he can get the job done here?
I don't know that they're totally confident, but I mean, if there was a top guard there at 27, I think that would be a very, very good consideration there.
So the offensive line, which a year ago at this time was maybe the biggest concern for the team, is now not the strength, but certainly
it's
an
not
area.
A weakness.
Yeah, exactly. You're not sitting here sweating and fretting and worried about how things might unfold once they start their season against opponent to be determined here in September.
Right. I mean, if you get Ronnie back, when you look at the Ravens offensively, I mean, you could say, other than maybe a guard, we're drafting all defense, you know, or backup quarterback.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, it's NFL Lunch. We're going to hear from Mark Azevedo, pro personnel director for the Baltimore Ravens, and he went Ravens.com, did a one-on-one. That was at when it had a Hall & Oates song, one-on-one, I want to be your friend tonight or something like that. One-on-one. But we're going to hear from him and also bounce around the AFC North. Kevin Stefanski, how's life treating you in Cleveland right now? And Andrew Berry, you don't want to talk about Deshaun Watson? Too late. We're talking about that next here on The Fan.